After the economic crash during the pandemic, a millionaire named Mike Black decided to try and prove that with a bit of hard work and determination, anyone could make $1 million from nothing in the span of just 12 months. He was so sure of his idea that he willingly volunteered for the experiment. It was a harrowing endeavor, but one he was willing to spare no expense on. He gave up his car, his house, and all of his money and cut off communication with all he knew before heading to the streets with only his phone and a camera crew to document his journey. After 10 months of building himself up, an autoimmune disease and his father's deteriorating health brought a premature end to the experiment, during which Black had only made $64,000. He was nowhere near his initial goal, but he didn't consider it a failure. But those who watched his journey had a different opinion. They weren't happy with how he had handled this whole experiment, with many being quick to point out that Black had given himself an unfair advantage by starting with a phone, and that he could always opt out and take care of himself with no hassle. Something that regular people just couldn't do. It became infamous online, and this little experiment became a prime example of just how poorly wealthy people understand the pay gap between them and the poor. Being poor is one of the most stressful things a person can ever experience, and often forces them into a lifestyle for survival. So when people treat the poor like they have an easy solution to their economic problems, or being poor is just a fun new experience, it's never taken well by the public. As the wealth gap has grown, average people no longer enjoy watching the flashy lifestyles of celebrities and influencers the way they used to. The hyper-consumerism has become less of a future to aspire to and more of a reminder of how much the upper class can and will waste while everyone else struggles to make ends meet. It felt like a slap in the face. And as people's growing disinterest in wealthy lifestyles grows, celebrities began taking notice and got desperate to prove that they were the same as anyone else. And they too faced the same struggles. The struggles of the working class. But what they hadn't anticipated was how poorly people would respond to this. One of the most notable examples occurred in early 2017, when the Kardashian West family decided to have a photo shoot. But before we continue, I want to talk to you about our video sponsor. Recently, I've wanted to build a website to promote my own school community, to build a like-minded community of YouTubers. And Odoo is perfect for doing this. Odoo is an all-in-one management software that provides entrepreneurs with a range of applications to simplify the day-to-day management of their business, including invoicing, accounting, project management, inventory, website creation, and so much more. The first Odoo application is free for life, with unlimited hosting and support. They also offer a free personalized domain name for 1 year. And once you have two or more standalone applications, you can then switch to a pay plan. And one of my favorite features personally is the Odoo Website Builder application, as it's a really powerful tool for creating websites quickly, easily, and efficiently, all free of charge, which you can use for a blog, to promote your products, to create an email list, anything you want. As Odoo keeps pace with your evolution, allowing you to add additional applications as you grow and your needs change, all without you ever having to put in your bank details for a nasty surprise. Now, the site builder is really intuitive and easy to use. No technical skills are required. Beginners and advanced alike will find their way around. Just simply drag and drop blocks, and you can customize each of these blocks, adding content like images, text, video, documents, and with functionalities like animations on these blocks, images, changing typography, colors, and image shapes. And if you're ever short of inspiration for your website, ChatGPT can help you generate text or reformulate parts of it within the website builder itself. It's so simple to use, and it's a really powerful tool for creating an amazing website completely free of charge. So check out Odoo today and build your website now by using the link in the description below. The former couple and their children are posed inside a middle-class home, wearing simple clothes while enjoying a romanticized version of a suburban lifestyle. While these photos were taken a few months after Kim was robbed and led many to suspect that the shoot was an attempt to downplay the flashiness of her true lifestyle to avoid a repeat incident, people found the shoot in poor taste. The Kardashians earned fame through their flashy, over-dramatized, ridiculous lifestyle. A lifestyle of being a trust fund kid is all they've ever known. So to see them wearing something simple in a grainy photo felt less artistic and more like the family was mocking the people that watched their content. It didn't help that shortly after this photo shoot, she went straight back to posting her glamorous lifestyle, though admittedly not as speedily as she was before, making sure to have left a location before posting a story or photo so more dangerous fans wouldn't track her every move. The Kardashian West weren't the first celebrity couple to do this. Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, Justin Hailey Bieber, and Dylan Sprouse and Barbara Palvin all had similar photo shoots in 2005 and 2019, respectively, and people were equally critical for various different reasons, from the celebrities treating their audience's lives like a fun cosplay that they could step into for a few hours, to them commenting how marriage was difficult only 1 month in the Bieber's case. However, none of this tops Jennifer Lopez's attempts to stay relevant. The pop star began her climb to fame in the early 2000s, and while she was beloved by many, she was never particularly relatable. Even in the early days of her career, when she insisted that she was still Jenny from the block, people only ever saw her as a glamour girl, fully engrossed in Hollywood, but they didn't particularly mind that. But when she started trying to portray herself as someone tied to her apparent roots in the Bronx,
I used to live here.
People began to have a problem with her. Lopez only doubled down on her attempts to portray herself as anything but a benefactor of fame, and it backfired catastrophically. This year alone, she's seen failure after failure, with her comeback album This Is Me Now barely hitting the top 200 and doing even worse as a musical film adaptation. Her behind-the-scenes documentary of the film did even worse and was more awkward than anything else. You can't help but actually feel a little bit sorry for Ben Affleck in some moments. Things got so bad for J-Lo that she had to rebrand her North American tour to her greatest hits because it wasn't getting enough sales, and then she just ended up cancelling the entire thing, though she claims it was just to spend time with her children, friends, and family. These celebrities don't seem to realise how painfully tone-deaf their attempts to blend in are. Worse so, they do a brilliant job of highlighting just how separated they are from their audiences. And it's not just an issue that lies with celebrities. Numerous brands and influencers have done similar things. Balenciaga famously released the distressed Paris sneaker, a $1,850 pair of shoes reminiscent of what a homeless person might have to wear because they have access to nothing else. It's like their wealth has made them completely blind to the reality of what they're actually doing, a sentiment particularly true of 20-something-year-olds living off of their parents' money with no clue what their purpose in life is. Of course, this is fairly harmless in the grand scheme of things, and nothing really to shame here. But what is to shame are the Trustafarians. Deliberately dressed in overpriced homeless-looking clothes or stereotypically indigenous clothing to play themselves off as members of a notably poor, oppressed social class, do copious amounts of drugs, and then spending their days preaching this woke enlightenment they receive while tripping to anyone willing to listen on social media. The worst part about their lifestyle is that while living on the streets with people who were clearly struggling far more than they were, Trustafarians often take advantage of the generosity of these poor people, knowing full well that they still had direct access to their parents' money and didn't have to worry about where they would sleep or when they would get their next meal. It's particularly bad in places like Vietnam, where you see these rich trust fund kids going on holidays and then doing a thing called begpacking, where they go around these poor impoverished countries begging so that they continue their traveling, acting like they're fighting for a cause while taking away from people actually in need in these countries. And they become so convinced of their own moral superiority that they will try to get others to live as they do, even if they don't have the means to do so or the trust fund at hand. And most of the time, they don't even recognize their own hypocrisy. Some preach about living an anti-consumerist lifestyle entirely focused on spirituality and creating art, which again isn't necessarily a problem, but they're achieving this simply because of their parents' money, only to turn around and drop thousands of dollars on massive events and clothing, and then complain about the government and the system and how hard they have it. Sadly, much like celebrities, all this virtue signaling is a desperate attempt to fit in and seem relatable without changing anything substantial about themselves or those around them. But many wealthy people think that by putting themselves on the same level as regular people, or rather as the portrayals of regular people they see in the media, they'll gain empathy and maintain a status of relevancy. Most of the time, it's very easy for audiences to see past the facade, and any attempt at defense just backfires in their faces.
Sam doesn't need the money to buy a Lamborghini or to buy a Rolex or to impress his friends. In fact, his car is a Toyota Corolla.
Hold on, where's your car?
It's that one there.
They don't make anything easy for themselves by glamorizing stereotypically poor lifestyles. A classic example of classy if you're rich, trashy if you're poor is van life, a trend chock full of younger millennials who sold most of what they had to buy a van, refurnish it, and travel the world, all without the constraints of the materialist world, which sounds absolutely amazing. It's a really inspiring and amazingly cool movement. You watch these videos and you want to be a part of it. Live on the road and be carefree. And while it's nice to watch conventionally attractive couples enjoy adventures on the road wherever they go, many of these videos are complete fabrications of the truth. What a lot of people forget is that while you can search hashtag van life on any social media platform and find it full of people loving life on the road, a significantly higher portion of people live a very different kind of van life. While trending couples usually choose to live in a van to go on adventures, many people living in their vehicles did not have the luxury of that choice. They were forced to make the lifestyle switch because they could no longer afford their rent and had nowhere else to turn. They're not enjoying life on the road and traveling from exotic destination to exotic destination. They're just trying to survive with what they have. And unfortunately, sometimes the van life for influencers make life a lot more difficult for those who are surviving by the skin of their teeth. As the trend became more popular, people soon found their little towns overrun by van lifers hoping for a new and interesting experience. Whilst at first it might have been nice to see their quiet little spots getting some appreciation at first, first, it soon turned into a nightmare. Many van lifers were prone to leaving a massive mess behind once they were done taking their pictures, leading to far too many examples of once beautiful areas getting trashed with excrement, toilet paper, and other garbage. And it wasn't just the picturesque locations either. Several parking lots befell a similar fate. This mistreatment of public and private spaces often forced those running the areas to ban overnight stays, meaning that well-meaning people living on the road were forced to drive even further to find a free place to stay or risk paying a hefty overnight fee. People living in their cars usually can't really afford to go much further than work if they have work, and their overnight parking spot or shopping center that lets them take refuge in their parking lot. So when others start to misuse these public spaces by leaving them in such a poor state, it only compounds the negative effects on everyone else who has no option but to be in the situation. The sad thing is that some of these van lifers are so consumed with their social media presence that they often miss out on the very sights they left their conventional lives to see. They've got the pretty van and the picturesque moment on their Instagram, but because they're too busy trying to show the view to everyone else, they never actually fully immerse themselves in the experience at all. And it's this quest for relevancy that completely defies the point of van life in the first place. And billionaires make similar attempts to appear relatable, but they do it for very different reasons and often with slightly better execution. While celebrities entrust trustafarians do a lousy job of hiding their wealth behind expensive depictions of poverty, billionaires have developed a fine balance between enjoying their wealth and showing off that they still do things average people do. Given how much influence you need to become a billionaire, one might assume that we have a record of every billionaire that exists, but that's not the case. In fact, when Forbes attempted to calculate how many billionaires there are in the world, they really couldn't. While all the power and influence definitely pull people into the limelight, they're also excellent tools for keeping them out of it, especially if said people want to enjoy their wealth and the luxuries that come with it in peace. Many lesser-known billionaires are great at staying under the radar and enjoying life, which makes a lot of sense. In fact, if you're not a celebrity or the founder of a household name, it's really quite easy to keep out of the public eye. You've just got to pay off the right people. But this begs the question, if most billionaires can hide with such ease, why don't all billionaires just do this exact same thing, rather than having millions of people scrutinizing their every move wherever they go? Well, the short answer is marketing. For billionaires like Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg, showing off their success is one of the key ways they draw investors to their businesses. By living a lavish lifestyle, they're not only showing potential investors all they could be privy to, but also proving how good they are at business. In other words, investors see a clear opportunity to make bank if they believe in the founder and their origin story. However, there's much more to gaining investors than just showing off what they're capable of. Billionaires also need to prove they're actually good at managing both their personal and business income. A study conducted by the National Bureau of Economic Research in 2012 found that CEOs who were quicker to spend their money were often more likely to be guilty of fraud or more concerned about increasing their personal income. On paper, a group of rich Western kids volunteering to help out a community in a developing country doesn't seem like a bad idea. They get to experience the struggles of another country while also learning about the culture and doing their part to make a few people's lives a little bit better, building them new spaces, bringing them gifts, and teaching them a language they don't have a complete grasp of. But unfortunately, while these trips can be excellent teaching moments for privileged kids, they end up doing way more harm to the local communities than people actually realize. While volunteers may feel good about helping to change the lives of a few helpless individuals, many host communities often suffer for it. These volunteer programs, which given the nature of the experience, quickly earn the name voluntourism, not only make a spectacle of poverty to inflate the kids' sense of importance, but hinder any attempts their host community makes at improving their living situation. Most volunteers participating in these programs are fresh out of college and have no idea how to teach English to a group of kids who don't understand the language, much less lay a brick. While they might mean well and are happy to provide free labor, they're taking work opportunities from local laborers, and most of what they do is so bad it has to be redone. In 2014, a woman named Pippa Biddle went viral after she told a story of how she and her fellow voluntourists were, quote, so bad at the most basic construction work that each night the men had to take down the structurally unsound bricks that we had laid to rebuild the structure. Unfortunately, voluntourism programs care about making a profit more than they care about contributing to the local economy.
The crux of my experience was that I realized while I was there, while we were trying to build this library, that the work we'd been doing was being redone while we were sleeping, in such a way that we would not be aware.
A terrible reality that gets worse when you realize that in many cases these programs have brought local economies to a dead halt. The communities have become so reliant on foreign aid and short-term volunteers that they no longer support local businesses. Because why buy new things when a group of foreigners is just going to bring you everything you need? In some areas, the effects of these programs have become so bad that some communities refuse and even ban international volunteers. They're not interested in an experience more focused on making volunteers feel morally superior than actually trying to help the community. Sadly, economic damage is not even the worst part of voluntourism. When you look through photos of these programs, one of the most popular activities is interacting with orphans. You often see smiling kids hanging out with a bunch of volunteers and teaching them how to dance or hear testimonies of how much these children enjoyed the visit from these volunteers. Everything seems great. And whilst these pictures and testimonies look really wholesome and sweet and pull at the heartstrings of others, they're hiding quite a dark reality. Children are usually scared of strangers. It's a normal psychological result of encountering something unfamiliar and is often encouraged by parents to keep them safe. However, the children living in voluntourism-frequented orphanages are incredibly affectionate. They will cling to new volunteers the second they're introduced.
Studies by child psychologists in South Africa of orphan children exposed to a revolving door of foreigners might be hyper-affectionate because they are constantly forming bonds with outsiders who, inevitably, abandon them.
While it makes for some lovely Instagram photos, this clinginess is an unfortunate result of these kids forming a bond with the volunteers who abandoned them a few weeks later, just in time for the new group of volunteers.
Talking to young people that have grown up in orphanages and been on the other side of this volunteerism experience, that they have intense feelings of abandonment and shame, and they are constantly exposed to this stream of well-intentioned visitors that want to interact with them.
The worst part about the whole situation, besides the psychological damage these children will be carrying into adulthood, is that 90% of the children in these orphanages have living parents and are separated from their families so that volunteers can brag about the fact that they volunteered in an impoverished community and were loved by their kids. The funny thing about all the wanting to make a difference by improving the lives of others and getting a first-hand experience of the struggle talk is that there are plenty of opportunities for people to apply to domestic programs, to help the homeless, the people struggling in your own country. But most of the time, people don't want to do that. While on the one hand, this is because you need to have some understanding of what you're doing before you can volunteer domestically, a luxury not usually afforded to developing countries, the larger reason is that going to a foreign country to help the needing looks significantly more generous and unselfish because it makes volunteers look like they're willing to give up the luxuries of home to deal with the struggles that come with living in a developing country. At the end of the day, being a tourist is significantly more helpful to these countries as you're actually contributing to the economy and enabling families to provide their children with an education. By spending money in a way that supports the local economy, tourists can make a huge difference while experiencing a new culture and environment, just as voluntourism advertises. If you enjoyed this video and you want to learn how to make videos like I do on this channel, where I'll show you behind the scenes stuff and how we post so many videos, on how we create the videos in the first place, and how I grew the channel to have over 1 million subscribers, you can join me in Moon Society. For just $5 a month, you can talk to me and a bunch of other content creators to grow your audience and make better, more meaningful videos together. Where I'll be doing specific YouTube Q&As, calls, and regular posts to give you as much help as possible. So if you're a filmmaker, creator, someone who wants to make meaningful content and put it online, you can join me and hundreds of others at Moon Society on School. Use the link in the description below.